Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Unlimited Realities Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Zimmer Mahoney. And today's guest, we have author and filmmaker Jeff Brown, author of Soul Shaping, and also The Apology of the Divine Feminine, which is what we're going to talk about today. And Jeff's going to give us a little bit of a perspective of The Apology of the Divine Feminine that he wrote in September of this year, and also give us a little bit of some insight to two different types of male archetypes that both aspects we experience in our lives with men. And being a man, it's coming from the horse's mouth. Jeff, welcome to Unlimited Realities.
So wonderful to be introduced as a horse for the first time. Thank you.
I thought you'd like that. You're welcome, you know?
I do like it. No, I'm cool. I'm totally into that. I'm totally into that. How you doing, Lise? How
are
you
great,
feeling?
Jeff. How are you doing? I'm feeling pretty good.
I'm okay.
And you? Yeah?
Yeah,
good.
Feeling pretty sturdy. Yeah. It's
yeah,
all good. Real
good,
snowy
good.
Here in Canada. Yeah, nice. Went for a little walk. And yeah, feels good.
Well, good. It's not snowing here in Florida, but it's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of cool.
What do you call very cool? Yeah.
Oh, well, it's lowering its temperature right now. It's woke up to about 40 degrees, and I think it's going down to about 28 tonight. Yeah, so we actually did get some chills.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Diving right in, Jeff.
Let's
diving
go.
Right in to this apology of the divine
here
feminine. Here we be. You wrote this in September. We actually spoke the day you were writing it, and what I got from it was that it was like a download of a collective kind of apology to all women. And maybe I should read like the first paragraph or two, and you can like give us our okay. Let me start off with. The apologies to the divine feminine. I apologize for my inability to distinguish the benevolent warrior from the heartless warrior, a reflection of my own confusion dealing with the battlefields of yore. When I opened my heart too wide, I was vulnerable to attack from warring factions. I was conditioned to believe that I had to stay rigid, focused, prepared for any eventuality, in the event to protect myself and others from attack. But I went too far and closed too tight, and eradicated the bridge between our hearts. I'm seeing this now, and I'm sorry. I apologize for my perpetual absence, a reflection of my own inner heart jammed tight by unresolved emotions that I did not have the tools, and I am now open to their emergence. I apologize for my inability to distinguish relationship from war. Like a warrior in enemy territory, I would sneak in and out of your life in the night, plundering and selfishly taking what I needed, then crawling back to the other side of the abyss with the spoils. I gave little back for fear that I would become vulnerable to attack. I had war on the brain, and I could not see the river of love waiting on the other side of the battlefield. I now recognize that love is the antidote for the armored warrior, but I could not drink the antidote in my driven state. So, Jeff, what do you make of that?
It had personal elements for me. You know, it was like a download from the collective or some kind of transmission or some kind of, like an ultimate statement of intentionality for me and my brothers. But it also had elements that were personal to me. I definitely remember in my 20s and early 30s feeling like I was kind of exploitative with women I was involved with, quite selfish and unable to give back. And the whole transition for me from, say, heartless or malevolent warrior to a more benevolent warrior, that really has been my challenge. I mean, that's really what soul shaping is about on the simplest level, the movement from the kind of edgy trial lawyer persona to a warrior way, because still in my work in the world, I need that part of me, and I honor that part of me, but to come from a more heartfelt or benevolent wellspring with my intentionality, you know, because I think that's where we've got stuck, right? I think that because of the nature sociologically of various circumstances, and just simply because of the male unwillingness quite often to go inside and deal with the emotional light. You know, we've gone too far in the direction of malevolence, you know. And it's like a very interesting moment, that line between being in that assertiveness, right, having that edginess and that focus, but coming from a really clarified and positive source spring, and then crossing that over with that energy, which is sometimes so hard to contain, the intensity of the warrior energy, and then starting to come from a much more malevolent place. And so I wanted to really make that distinction between those two so that we don't throw the whole warrior out with the bathwater, but that we allow ourselves to entertain the possibility that there are two different tracks here. Yeah.
And isn't there two different tracks with all men? I mean, isn't there kind of an ebb and flow in regard to, you know, where they're at, what they're going through? You know, you have the male who's evolved and aware, and you have the male who's got a little glimmer of light, or maybe, you know, the door's cracked a tad and he's got a little sliver there of awareness, or maybe not much at all. I mean, you've got, you know, you have the unevolved male.
You got Vinny, for example. You're talking about
Vinny.
You know, Vinny, basically, simply to have gone into therapy for Vinny is a very huge leap of faith, basically. For the most part, he still calls women dames, and he thinks that if he spends a lot of time at the dinner table listening to them, he's going to get a little action at the end of the night. But even Vinny, in this modern era, is starting to open to the idea of discussing the matters of the heart. So there's like a shift. And back to Jeff.
Right, right.
So there's like a shift. There is. And it, you know, I think that it's because I really believe that this warrior energy came from real circumstances, real world circumstances, in terms of, you know, men occupying a particular territory or terrain in terms of protecting family, protecting region, protecting other, hypervigilant with a positively intended focus in terms of their roles and duties and responsibilities, many of which many men never even question or contemplate. They simply accept it as true, you know.
Right.
I think it is, we go back and forth a lot in that place. I can see how easy it is, even in myself, even in my most, let's say, evolving moments or evolved moments, to very easily cross back over in the direction of power tripping, abuse of power, you know, taking advantage of situations where there's female vulnerability. You know, unless you really do work inside to really recognize these different ways of being in yourself, it's very, very easy to fall into that trap. Absolutely.
Well, do you catch yourself when you're there? I mean, do you stop yourself or do you keep going? I mean, when you recognize that that's like an old pattern, I mean, the evolved man, you've got Vinny, and you've got the evolved man. And sometimes Vinny, you know, crosses over on the other side of the tracks a little bit more than the evolved man.
Right. Absolutely. Well, Vinny's very familiar, so sometimes I want to be a little bit of Vinny, you know.
Right.
I really do. Yeah, because it's comfortable, you know. And I think what has to happen, or what's happened for me, because I don't want to become a theorist for all men, but what's happened for me really is that I have a lot of dialogue happening internally around these questions. Because I've consciously taken this question on since my early 20s, when I stepped back from law, when I started to peel away my warrior armor on a massage table, when I started to do all that therapeutic work. So I began to interface and interact with aspects and parts of the self. You know, I was naming parts of myself in my teen years. This is what has to happen. We have to learn about our inner worlds and learn about different pathways of possibility and where they're emanating from. You know, like, what is the source spring for that behavior? These are just silly concepts unless somebody's taken on that challenge on an inner level, you know. You know, like, I have a very, very, very good friend who's now really taken, you know, for years he absolutely refused. He was nothing like Vinny. He just was more of a closed up guy, you know. And he's really just like woke up one day and said, God, I'm really, there's got to be a better way to live inside of my own bones, you know. And has taken on the therapeutic path really deeply and is now into naming parts and stuff. And I think this parts naming is a really important part of the process of learning to distinguish the parts that are moving from the healthy place and the parts that are moving from an archaic place, you know?
Well, give us an example of that for the audience, because you've got, you know, you've got people here who are like opening up, and you've got others who are opened up, and in naming the parts, what would be some common aspects that we all face, or men specifically.
All right. Okay, so let's say, you know, a man is, or I'm confronting a woman who is in a very, very vulnerable place, you know, and let's say she's in a state you can tell where she's looking for dad, or she's looking for some kind of older male validation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all mixed up with her sexuality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's two ways to interface. There are many ways to interface in that way, but let's say, to put it in crudely and simply, the one way of doing it, and this happens in the spiritual teaching community a whole lot, is that the man sees that vulnerability as an opportunity to gratify himself, right? It's really simple. So there's Vinny, he's at the table. The dame is at the table. She's young, she's crying, her boyfriend hurt her. She needs to feel as though somebody's going to validate and love her. So then Vinny moves in that way, gives, feeds her, buys her something, anything, really just because he wants something from her, right? As opposed to recognizing, coming to a different, more evolved place in yourself as a man, where you can maybe witness and recognize that there's a part of you that has a little turn on with that vulnerability. You can feel that door opening. But then calls yourself on that and then operates from a different place. That is that you then dialogue. Let's say she's now moving towards me in a way that indicates that she's all mixed up and she wants sexuality, and it's all, so then instead of moving in that place to actually step back and dialogue with that part of her in a way that's actually more ultimately helpful and benevolent, like that. That would be a very clear and simple example of that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That, and that is
right?
Pretty much typically how we still operate on an unconscious level in relationships. I mean, it's all over, and that's generally what we are having to work through, both men and women, because
when you say all over,
you know,
you mean it's all happening at once.
It's all happening at once.
Is that what you mean?
Right.
Right. Okay.
That's
got
what
it.
I meant. And and in doing that, I mean it's happening in regard to our old tapes are there, and our old vulnerabilities and our old manipulations, whether it's conscious or unconscious. And and so those kind of have to be looked at too, because when it's conscious, it's a lot easier to address. You can say, hey, you know, I'm a schmuck there, and I need to deal with it. When it's unconscious, it's a lot more digging. So even females, need to take some inner dialogue and inner work in regard to what they're putting out there and what they're drawing in.
Right.
Because if they're drawing in the Vinnies, then what they're putting out there isn't really clearly aligned, right?
Right, so that's their piece in it. Everyone has their piece in it, absolutely, and that's their piece in it. And and we don't want the apology to be construed as a suggestion that men are the only ones who are ever responsible for the madness that happens in dynamics. I mean, I've had that interpretation, and I certainly never intended that, right? It's not really for me to write the apology to the sacred masculine. I've attempted it, but it's not really in me, you know? I mean, that's a whole other side of the story. It's a dynamic where, you know, if I wanted one thing to come through that apology, I believe, It was for us to begin to understand ourselves in sociological terms, you know, that is so many of these patterns and behaviors and responses were conditioned deep in our bones and were a response to various conditions, planetary conditions, geographical conditions, on both sides of it. So that, and that doesn't mean it's all of a sudden you're going to be able to be with the asshole because you get that he can't help himself, because that's ridiculous. But there is a place in relationship where we can understand one another's responses, actions, behaviors, the way we jump to roles and duties and various personas, as something that we're all caught up in together. You know, that it's a dynamic that is a function of circumstances and not always so blameworthy, you know. And if we can start talking about that and self-witnessing like that, like where did that come from in me, you know, that to me is where the evolution and the revolution happens. It's that it all comes back to a self-awareness. of why do I operate in that way? Do I really have to operate in that way? Are there other pathways of possibility in this situation? Is that role and duty trip really helping support anything on this planet anymore? Or is that old style, what mommy taught me, what daddy modeled to me, all that stuff? And to begin to make the way that we interface internally and hence externally a conscious process.
Right. And self-dialogue is ongoing. It's something that
Absolutely.
Even when you think you've got it, it's going to have to be rechecked, you know, because it comes back
Absolutely.
And disguises itself. And,
oh, my God,
you know,
in a million forms, Lisa. Yep.
Right. It's never something that's, you know, pat. You know, you have the element and you're working on it and it's taken care of on that dimension. But then you've got, you know, five other masks that it unveils.
Yep.
And you know, this is something that, you know, we all walk in with our own stuff. We all walk in with our own processing that and programming that we need to address. And what I really loved about the apology is, yes, it was a very intimate apology for everyone who read it. I'm sure it hit intimately for everyone personally, specifically women. And yet on the same point, I took it as it was a great educational platform for women who don't understand the dynamics of why men react or respond in the way they do.
Right on.
Because
it's
not necessarily a negative aspect. Speaking as a woman, I appreciate the masculine qualities. And, you know, even when there's a little bit of an assholeness there's also that wisdom or that strength or that power or some benefit to come from it.
Right.
So, you know, what I really thought was the most powerful in the apology itself was to kind of educate women that, hey, don't throw all men into the sweaty man's soup, you know? They're not all the same.
Right.
We have individual aspects to each man.
Well, and to me, it's absolutely, and it's really about humanizing. I mean, if we're going to get anywhere together as genders, we have to humanize. We got to take everybody off their pedestal, you know, and we've got to humanize the process. We've got to see dude as a human being first and foremost. And so, you know, if that means, and how that lives out depends on the dynamic, but if that means you're in a relationship with a guy who's acting in a way that's what you would call, you know, typical man and roll your eyes, to just try to infuse that commentary with a deeper understanding of where he's coming from. And not negatively, but also positively. You know, why does he not access his heart as much as you think you want him to? Because maybe we have shaped ourselves as men as warrior protectors, and that mushy place did not serve our hypervigilant focus. I really believe that to be true. I remember when 9/11 happened, and I remember watching those planes hit the building, and I remember, and I'd been at Harbin Hot Springs before that, really doing a lot of heart opening. I was mushy pie, right? And then I'm watching the videos. All of a sudden, I'm right back to fuck you, warrior. And I'm like, all of a sudden, Mr. Esoteric at Harbin Hot Springs looks like an absolute flake to me, right? And I am ready to go drive up and down Bathurst Street in Toronto looking for terrorists. I mean, it is so deep in my bones. And it was like, but my instinct was a protective one. In other words, I put that heartfelt dude away in order to protect those who were close to me. So, you know, we assume, so that it's about beginning to dialogue together internally and externally about what's really going on. Like, where does this come from? And, you know, I mean, I think one of the great challenges we have is that many of my brothers aren't willing to have that conversation yet. You know, it may be too early for that conversation. Women seem quite ready to have that conversation, in my experience. And I think
and
that's
also,
the great challenge.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm done.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
I wanted to interject simply because they're probably not having the conversation as easily as they probably could or should if their partner is not receptive to opening up their heart. Because one thing that women need to look at within themselves, and we're masterful at this as women, we learn this before we're at a grade school. And if we don't acknowledge this now, we're never going to step 2 feet forward. We're masterful with the passive-aggressive communication. And we oftentimes don't even know we're doing it. And so in regard to male-female relationships, I think it's women's responsibility to really communicate effectively. As painful as that may be to get through, because sometimes it's very difficult for women to express themselves, they have to try. And they have to work on that to get men to open up to the aspect of feeling comfortable to work their crap through. Because if you don't have a receptive party to work with, you're going to stay shut.
Absolutely. But let's go one step farther. And rather than expecting men to jump from armor to heartfelt communicator too quickly, or women to shed passive aggressiveness as an example, let's start talking compassionately and like in a way of, that's designed to encourage understanding about what is passive aggressiveness. My experience of passive aggressiveness is it's usually someone who learned at an early age, whether through role, duty, or environment, that they aren't allowed to directly express themselves because it's threatening. In other words, that women didn't really have permission to express things in the environments that they were in. So they're dealing with this like cut-off warrior dude who's just being Mr. Warrior and not wanting to speak from his heart. And maybe a lot of them were frightened to communicate in direct and clear terms. So it went under the surface, became passive aggressiveness. The moment you start talking about where passive aggressiveness comes from, that's when the door starts to open to real communication for me. Because then the guy goes, okay, it's not just that you're a biatch, right? All that languaging. It's like, okay, you are that because of what you as a gender have been experiencing. And I am that also because of what I as a gender have been experiencing. And I think it softens the edges. I think if you just jump into women start talking directly, well, they're afraid to talk directly. They need the man to understand why they're afraid and why they go passive, right? They need that understanding. Men need the understanding of, hey, I accept parts of you. I forgive parts of you. Not all of what you've done. Don't get me wrong. But the parts of you that can't communicate, because I get that it's connected actually to something historical, something sociological, and actually something benevolent in terms of your warrior roles and duties. When we bring this deeper context to the dialogue, I think it starts to open doors.
I agree. I totally agree. And I agree with the women shutting down in their communication, because it is out of fear and it is out of being stifled or suppressed. And so,
absolutely.
So you've got all of those pieces, and it is an emotional piece, but oftentimes as both men and women, when we're in that vulnerable emotional piece and we don't have the evolution to look outside of it, we go into a survivalism or a mode of protection. And whether that is passive-aggressive, whether that is redirecting blame, whether that is victimization, however it masks itself, you know, it's something that will come out in the dynamics of relationship. And
that's where the heart is. Right.
Yeah.
Right. I just think we have, you know, that whole stereotype that men were allowed to be angry but not cry and women were allowed to cry but not be angry. I think it really cuts to the heart of a lot of this stuff. I really believe that's true. And I really think that a lot of the characteristics that women dislike in men relate to their not having developed the pathway of receptivity and grief and crying and tearfulness, all that. And a lot of the stuff that men complain about in women, you know, like my mother screaming and screeching, was because I don't think she had a natural pathway of release on a moment-to-moment basis for her justified anger, so it ended up coming through in very perverted forms, you know?
Okay.
So I think if we start talking about that and encouraging us all in the direction, I mean, really what we're talking about is sacred balance, so that both genders have access to every pathway of expressive possibility. Right. I mean, that's really what we're talking about. And because that's been denied, the whole thing is mixed up. Right.
It is. It is. And it's not really taking into consideration the depth of the emotions, because it's all just, you know, stick your head in the sand. Let's not deal with it. And so, you know, in regard to honoring both aspects, male and female, who are evolving and coming up, there's this open dialogue or this trust and communication that has to come, and it all comes from the heart. That's where it all starts. That's, you know, the honest communication. It's where the feelings, and it's difficult. It's difficult for women and for men to reveal what they're feeling in that moment, especially if they've felt, you know, stifled. So it's an unearthing that takes time. Yes, it's got to feel
absolutely
safe.
Absolutely,
and
there are certain
supported
conditions. It has to be. And that's not just about the dynamic. That's also about the world, right? I mean, when you have generation after generation of survivalistic structures, people just trying to get food on the table, out hunting to get food, basically most of their energy devoted to basic, simple survival. You know, and I know this in myself, when I'm in survival mode, the last thing that I want to do in order to get through it all is to, like, let down into those mushy emotions. They don't serve me.
Right.
What serves me is my focus, my rigid soldier focus. And that's been true for all of us as part of sociological reality, right? And that impacts,
right,
in my opinion, much more than anything on our inability to access and speak from the heart. You know, the more this world becomes safe and rule of law takes over from the rule of madness and barbarism, the more everybody starts to have permission to know that they can, like, walk through a forest and let their shoulders drop and really feel into their heart, you know? And we haven't had that so much in this world.
No. And we've also, we're at a place now where, you know, I do see men evolving. I do see men opening up. And, you know, they are all doing it individually. But, you can't really say as a woman anymore the common phraseology of, oh, he's a man, he won't get it, because it's not true anymore. Sure, there's men out there who are struggling, but I think for the most part, the awakening of a more open heart is happening for men, and I think that they are being pulled into that because of the woman, because the woman has that unconditional, nurturing, intuitive feeling about her that it comes so natural, and it's a teaching.
See, it's interesting. I don't think it's coming from the woman at all, because I think women have been holding the space like that forever, and men have been ignoring it forever. I believe it really relates to the changing conditions in society itself. I really believe that men will only let down when they know that they do not have to be in their hypervigilant focus to protect themselves and other. I absolutely believe this is true, and that women, if there's a survivalist environment and women are coming from their heart and making it nice and accepting, I don't believe it's going to do it. I believe that we are really, as a gender, really linked to the state of the world. So for me, the unconscious media is the greatest enemy of gender progress. Because the more the unconscious media works the root chakra anxiety to get people to buy newspapers and watch their silly news shows, the more they create recessions with, you know, alarmist media structure. To me, that pulls men right back into hypervigilant protector, and then we move farther away from heart talk. That's really, if there's anything we could do in society, it's to have every government monitoring the nature and behavior of the unconscious. I'm not talking about this kind of media. I'm talking about the other media. Because that,
right,
to me,
right,
is the structure in place that prevents us from moving forward.
Well,
the moment
I saw
those 9/11 images, I was a warrior again. It was like, okay, we're under attack. I'm a warrior again.
So what is it within our society that would, I mean, because it is happening. I mean, there's a softening, and yet we're at war. So where is this, you know, where is this coming from on a global level, on a collective level, that all of a sudden,
where's what
even
coming
though
from?
We have war dynamics going on, that men are coming into their, you know, their hearts more, or if women aren't holding that light and being that, you know, that light at the end of the tunnel on some level, then what is it in society that's doing this?
Well, I think generally
the
world
is
a little safer. I think generally the world is a little safer. I mean, America's at war, but I don't think they're so worried. It's not like in World War II when they were worried the Germans were going to come. I mean, it is a safer world, and basic need structures are more in place, so that we're farther away. More of us are farther away from root chakra anxiety than probably ever before. So I think that's a factor. But I don't believe there's a radical shift yet in terms of softening of the heart in men. I don't believe it. You know, still 90% of my book readers are women. You know, still 90% of the people that responded favorably to the apology were women. There's still a lot of Vinnies everywhere I go. I'm in business. I meet Vinny every day. I don't meet a lot of guys like
too.
Me or my best buddy. You know, I mean,
there
are more of us.
There, though.
Yeah,
hey,
there are more of us, but I don't think it's radical yet.
No, it's not,
there are
but
more,
it's out
but it's
there.
Not
hey,
radical.
We have less than 45 seconds, so I need to not cut you off, because I have an issue with that.
Yeah.
So what would you like to say here in our last 30 seconds? I want to thank you again for being on, Jeff, and I want everyone to go to soulshaping.com, buy your book, Soul Shaping, read The Apology
for
the Divine Feminine there. And, you know, this has been a great show. This has been a lot of fun. Really appreciate it.
It's a great topic. It's a great topic. Both I and Vinny are delighted to have been with you today, Lisa.
Well, thank you, dear. It's been a joy for me as well, and have a lovely day. Everybody have a great day. Many blessings, and we'll see you again next week at 11:30 on Monday. Take care. Many blessings.
Bye.
Are you there?